Chris, sorry.
I guessed it was me.
I wrote the right name down. I just then looked at the business book.
I'm not looking at the readings today because I've told you already today, some of you, that I'm not very good at being traditional. So I want to talk about things that might get me banned from ever coming here again. I want to talk about ghosts, the Trinity, a children's programme. I'm going to have some fun and see where we get to.
You've got a date for next year,
aren't you? Well, maybe I'll get cancelled. First thing, Christmas. It's only a few days away. It's great, isn't it? And if any of you knew me well, you'd be nudging yourself thinking, Chris has lost it. We know Chris is not a big fan. All that enforced hilarity is not really me, after all said and done. But I'll say it again that, you know, it is good news that Christmas is only a few days away. Because Christmas is that time that is a celebration of the birth of the Lord. And it's far more important than any one individual birthday we might have in the house, however much we might think of our own birthdays. And I'm not going to get into when it really was and which date it should be or anything else. It's the fact that the world, or parts of the world, or little bits, or subsets of the world, actually know what Christmas is about besides going shopping and giving presents. You know, we're here today, aren't we, to remember his birth, his perfect life, and his death day as well as his birthday, and then his resurrection day. So that's why we're here, isn't it, today? It's because it's a Sunday, a day when we meet together to remember him, and it's far, far more important than any day of the year that's put aside for Christmas, isn't it? The fact that we've met together to remember the Lord Jesus. And it's far, far more important than our own individual birthdays. So maybe we should think about that next time we wished our 20th, our 30th, our 40th, whatever number of birthdays it is. That, you know, every Sunday is far, far more important. So I want to talk about the past, the present and the future. I like to give myself small subjects. And I'm going to do it in a few minutes, hopefully. But that's why I'm interested in my time and your time, the past, the present and the future. And the thing that first jumped into mind was A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. So now you're starting to see where the ghosts are coming from, and maybe the fact there's a trinity of them. And the fact I even thought of it was a surprise to me, because I am the proud owner of an English O-Level, which is before GCSEs or whatever they're called this week. And I got the fantastic grade of utterly unclassified. It wasn't a D or an E or a 6 or a 7 or an 8. It was unclassified and utterly hopeless. That's how bad I am at English literature. But it still jumped to mind because I knew what the story was. So to the world of Ebenezer Scrooge, I was drawn. And you're thinking, where on earth is Chris going? But in case you've forgotten, it's a story of this bitter and somewhat miserly gentleman called Ebenezer Scrooge. But it's also about his ideological, his ethical and his emotional transformation. And there's some big words for me. Resulting from these supposed supernatural visits from the ghosts, from Jacob Marley, and the ghosts of Christmas past, Christmas present and Christmas yet to come. And apparently he sees the error of his ways and he makes amends, and then everyone's happy at the end of the story. So, well, the good news is it was a happy ending. So maybe it's no different for us. That we've got our own individual Christmas carol tale. It's called Our Lives. Because we were there in the past as sinners, without God or without hope. In the present, we try and follow God's will. After our baptism, trying to follow after the example of our Lord Jesus, who we're here now to remember. And then in the future, we have a hope, don't we, that we may be allowed into the kingdom by God's grace and mercy. And if you forget everything else I say, try and remember that about the past, the present and the future, how that, where we were, where we are and where we're trying to get to. From sin to eternal life, if you like, with all the steps in between that we need to look at. And on the way, we've got the best self-help book in the world, haven't we? We've got the Bible. We can look in it and learn about God if we look in it prayerfully and carefully. You know, the past is in there, is recorded for us. And why is it there? For our learning. The present are there for instruction, for guidance, and what we need to do now in this present world. And then finally we have the vision of the future, which is promised to those who overcome, if you like, as he talked about in Peter. But as we go on our way, we've got this book, the Bible, as our guide, haven't we? And maybe I could stop now, but maybe it's a little bit too short, so maybe I'd be failing my duty to make you feel uncomfortable at some point. So I'll explore it some more until you are. First of all, though, I want to say that I realise God does not change, and it tells us in Malachi 3, verse 6, "For I am the Lord, I change not." So I accept that, but I still want to look at God in three ways in the context of the Christmas carol. To look at God of the past, God of the present, and God of the future. I accept it's the same God. I just want to look at three different human viewpoints of the same thing. So, to help with this idea of three viewpoints, some of you in this room will know all about BBC One children's programme called, and this is pre-Teletubbies, this is before CBeebies, it's called Play School. And it started in the 1960s to the late 80s, I understand. And I remember watching this as a child. And during each programme, there's a point where a viewer is invited to look through a window and you'd get a story about today's topic. And there's three different window shapes to choose from. There was the square window, and they used to do that every time. There was a round window, and then there was an arch window. And there's more about this as I come, but going back to this Christmas carol, if we look at God in the past, which I want to regard as looking through that square window, you've got a view of God's dealings with the nation of Israel in the past, haven't you? We can often, from the readings, think that God is very black and white in the Old Testament. Obey or be punished. Live or die. Do as you're told or get punished. It gets very rigid, very black and white, very quickly. And I think that's what this window's about. It's very strong, but it's very rigid, and it's very pointed at the edges, and it has four corners, four points, four rough edges, if you like. And maybe that's about us and our character, that we're that square window. We've got those sharp four points that in our character that we need to address, don't we? In fact, we've probably got far more than four points, but I'll stick with the square. You know, we've probably got 16 or 20 or 30 or 40 or who knows how many strange and prickly bits that we've got. And maybe you'd think that I'm being a bit strange if I describe God as our Ebenezer, but just for a minute, just bear with me, that in 1 Samuel 7 and verse 12, there's a phrase that we have Samuel leading the people back to God and the Lord punishing the Philistines, who were a problem in those days, and back in Jeremiah 47 as well. But anyway, back to that verse in Samuel. "Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and he named it Ebenezer, saying, 'Thus far God has helped us.'" And that's maybe what we need to remember, that thus far God has helped us. Psalm 105 and verse 5, "Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, the judgments he pronounced." Now we need to sit quietly, don't we, and meditate on all that God has done for us. It might not be always what exactly we wish he did, but it is for our learning, for our good, even if we can't see it at the time. So instead of me complaining about having to go to work every day, I should be thankful for having a job. Let alone a job in a nice warm office, not outside in the rain like some of my colleagues who are loading the trucks. I should be very, very thankful, shouldn't I, especially at this time of year. Instead of complaining that this ear doesn't work, I should be thankful this one still does. But it's a challenge for us, isn't it? And then we get to the things we enjoy that we find problems with. Many of you know I like to come up here and race cars a couple of miles away at Croft Motor Circuit, but so I like my cars. So I got a letter yesterday from the DVLA that says, "Dear Chris, we're taking your license off you. You can now have a 3-year renewable license instead, and we'll see if you can keep it in 3 years and so on. Oh, and by the way, you're not allowed to drive 7.5-ton trucks anymore. You can only stick to a limit of 3.5. And I don't like that, because then I've got the next problem on is, well, can I be allowed to race next year or not, which is my hobby that I really like. But I shouldn't be thinking about these things in this way, should I? I should be thankful for the fact I can still drive to get to work to earn the money to keep the roof over my head. Now let's get back to where I should be. So things might not be the way we want them, but maybe they're there for us to learn from. And it's a challenge we need to take up, not just day by day, but hourly or every minute of the day, isn't it? To see what's good for us, not just because we don't like it. Psalm 78 tells me that he decreed statutes for Jacob and established a law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children so the next generation would know them. Even the children yet born, and they in turn would tell their children. And they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds but keep his commandments. You know, that's what we're told about, isn't it? We need to pass the message on, don't we, to our children. Deuteronomy 8 says, remember how the Lord led you all the way in the desert those 40 years to humble you, to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments. He humbled you, he caused you to hunger and then fed you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And we know we can look back and even their clothes didn't wear out, or their feet didn't swell in those days, did they? Psalm 111, he has caused wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. And we're here to remember him and his son, aren't we? We need to be grateful for God's compassion, grace and mercy in the giving of his only begotten son, to give us that hope of eternal life to serve the Lord. Now, we should all have reason to do as Psalm 103 says, which is, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my innermost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, because there are so many to us, isn't there? Now, and we need to remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds from Psalm 77. So I'd like to say that the Lord has been our Ebenezer. The Lord has helped us thus far. We must praise him with a grateful heart for all the blessings that we received. We should remember every miracle he's performed in our lives, that he wants to share, and how he wants us to share our belief with others and future generations, so that they too will put their faith in him. We should never be ungrateful to the Lord after we've received answers to our prayers that aren't quite the one we wanted. We should be diligent to offer our praise and our thanksgiving instead, and we need to realise that if our Lord had not stood with us in times of danger and distress, we would be lost by now. But also we need to remember in times of prosperity, in times of happiness, remember that it's the Lord that's helped us throughout it all. So in summary of part one, the Lord dealt with, the Lord God dealt with man in the past, and we need to learn from their mistakes so we don't make the same mistakes. It's a big challenge, but we need to do it. But as they say, the past, yesterday is history. Let's move on to the God of the present, if you'll allow me. God, who at sundry times in dire manners spake in time past to the fathers by the prophets, the God of the past, hath in these last days, now, spoken unto us by his Son. And I think those two verses nicely link the past to the present in Hebrews chapter 1. This section is quite simple. God's given us the example of his Son that we're here to remember. His life, his death, his resurrection. We're all here to remember. And we've got so many of his thoughts recorded for us in the New Testament, haven't we? To help us to understand how to live our way, live our life the way we're expected to, after the example of our Lord. So if the first was that square window with the sharp points of our characters, well, now we've got the view which is the circle, the well-rounded circle, the perfect circle, the example of our Lord Jesus. He didn't have the spiky points of character like we do. He wasn't prickly like we could be. Oh, he didn't have an off day like we will. And we need to be like him. We need to make our characters well-rounded like that circle. We need to work on our awkward a bit, shall we say, and we all know what they are. We shouldn't be looking at each other. We should be looking only at ourselves when we look at this kind of subject. We need to avoid those sharp and offensive points, don't we? We need to work on them. So those corners of the square get knocked off when we become a well-rounded character. And there's so many places where you could look at that in Galatians and so forth as to know what we should be liking in our characters. But that view of now in Matthew chapter 1, the virgin shall be with child and will give birth to a son and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 121, the Lord watches over you, the Lord is your shade at your right hand. Jeremiah 20, but the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior, so my persecutors will stumble and not prevail, they will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Philippians 2, verse 13, for it is God that works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. The Lord Jesus is the one that we're here to remember, but he's that perfect example, the perfect round window, showing us what God's character is like. And he's our shepherd who meets all our needs, he watches over us, he's our refuge in times of trouble and distress. And he helps us to work in our lives, to give us the opportunity to fulfil his will and his Father's will and purpose. And the thing we're here to remember, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20, you were bought at a price, therefore honour God with your body. What's that saying, if you like, in Yorkshire, is saying, don't waste a minute of God's time because you're wasting his money, he's already bought you. You're wasting God's time, not just your own. You weren't selected from the perishing millions to indulge yourself in unjustful stewardship or to lounge lazily in the sunshine. No. We've been called to work, haven't we? We've been called through baptism to work. To work God's will. And we need to have wisdom in this present day, don't we? Because we've got to look forward to the glorious day of opportunity. You know, nobody can earn eternal life. It's God's mercy and God's grace that gives us hope of it through the example of his obedient Son. So, yesterday is history, as I've said. Today is the present. And we all know a present's a good thing, and it's Christmas time, so we know what a present is. And maybe when you get all these presents, then you'll remember that today is your present. Today is the time you've got to serve the Lord. Today is the gift from God to each one of us. What we do with this day and the next day, whether it's wasted, whether it's fruitful, is down to each one of us, isn't it? Hebrews 3, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him. Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit saith, today if you will hear his voice. And we can look on and it says, we don't want it to be said of us, wherefore I was grieved of that generation and said they do it always in their heart, and they've not known my ways. Instead, we need to do as we're told in verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be any evil heart of unbelief in you, in departing from the living God, but instead exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we may partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, and harden not your hearts. Now that's the thing we need to do, isn't it? It's today, not tomorrow. But now we need to look at the future, the God of the future, if you like. And I'm back to the third window, and this was the arch window, like that. So we've got like a square at the bottom and a circle at the top. And maybe that represents the journey we need to go from this pointy, sharp, difficult character to a well-rounded character that is after the example of the Lord Jesus. Maybe that's what we're aiming for. Because maybe the sharp bits at the bottom anchor us into the building that God is building his kingdom, and then the rounded bits are the perfected part of us that fits well in to the actual rest of the building. And I could go back to Hebrews chapter 1 again. So the past was God who in sundry times in divers manners spake in the past unto the fathers by the prophets. The present hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And then it talks about the future, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. And that's what we're looking forward to, isn't it? That time when the kingdom shall come. So let's look at that time of the future. Yesterday's history, today is the present. The gift of God, and tomorrow, it's said, is still a mystery. But is it a mystery? The Bible tells us about the future, about the kingdom. So it shouldn't be such a mystery. We don't know when it starts, but we know what it should be like, don't we? And if we don't, we need to look and see what the scripture has to say. But the future, if you like, is almost two parts. The first part is the near future, the mystery, because we don't know what tomorrow will bring or this afternoon, do we yet? But we all pray for the second part, the return of the Lord Jesus, the establishment of the kingdom. And we know more about that, and that's what we need to be focused on. Not the simple things of going to work tomorrow. We need to be thinking about the vision of the future, because that vision of the future might be reality in the next hour, in the next day. I can't tell you the next minute. Philippians chapter 1, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion to the day of Christ Jesus. Or Acts 9, it talks about the church throughout Judea, Galilee and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace, and it was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit and grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. Isaiah 59, from the west men will fear the name of the Lord, and from the rising of the sun they will revere his glory. Or Haggai chapter 2, the glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. The Lord will be with us now and in the future. He's promised to be with us until the end of the age. The Lord who began a good work in our lives will help us to carry it on to completion until he returns. The Lord will be with us where we go through trials and tribulations to protect us. We need to see him there, don't we? We need to accept that the way he helps us is best for us and not just what we want him to do. He will help us and if need be carry us till our journey is completed. And we need to look at the past to remember how the Lord delivered us from other things. And it should help us to build our faith to deal with the present, shouldn't it? And the future challenges especially. You know, the Lord offers such a bright future to all that answers his call. Paul in Romans 12 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. Some would say, what's in it for us? Well, I've already said that tomorrow's a mystery, but the answer comes from Paul again, this time in 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So, I've taken you through a trinity of ghosts, my English literature that I'm hopeless at. I talked about a children's programme, and the three windows and the ways of looking at the past, the present and future of us, and what we need to do. And we need to learn from the past in the Bible and from our own past. We need to learn from the mistakes of others and our own mistakes. We need to change from that square, pointed individual that is prickly and difficult to get on with. We need to correct our actions in the present, don't we? We need to assist others. We need to address those offensive edges in our character to become a well-rounded one after the example of our Lord Jesus that we're here to remember, in order that we might make better informed choices in the future. And hence we'd be fitly framed together in as a window into the building of the kingdom of the future. And we need to concentrate on that vision, don't we, through that arch window to help our unbelief, as we have to pray that the Lord will help us in our unbelief, that we may believe in the future and our hope of a place in that eternal kingdom. So in summary, brothers and sisters, we need to learn from the past, we need to work in the present, and we need to cling on to our belief of the future.